Open your Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 17 is where I want to begin reading. When you found 2 Corinthians 5, find 1 Corinthians 15 and put your marker or your thumb there and be ready to turn to it. It's just a couple pages back. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31. This is a very unusual message. I don't know where the Lord's going to take this, but he give it to me. And I want to be obedient to him, especially being the first preacher. And I want to try to set an atmosphere in here where the other preachers can come and just have a liberty to get up and preach the gospel. And I appreciate all of you coming this morning. I love this meeting. I love this church. This church has been a blessing to me. Back when we went through our time of illness, this church supported me faithfully every month, never missed a month, and they've just been a blessing to me now, supporting me as one of their missionaries, and you just don't forget things like that. I want you to know I love you and appreciate that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse number 17, would you stand with me, please, while I read my Bible to you this morning? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's important. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Here's why. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's bow, please, for prayer. Our Father, we're thankful this morning to have this privilege to preach the gospel. And Lord, I'm probably like every preacher in here. We'd rather not be the first one, but it's fell my lot, Lord. To be the first preacher of this great meeting. And I pray, Lord, that you would take us now and use us for your glory. I pray, Lord, that your anointing would rest upon us, that, God, you would put your words in my heart and upon my mind. Help me to say only those things that would be pleasing unto you. I pray, Father, for those sitting in attendance today, that the Word of God may go out and accomplish that you sent it to reach. I pray, Father, that if there's one in our midst that's not saved, today will be the greatest day of their life when they'll surrender all and be saved. And then, Lord, I pray for those that are struggling with the Christian life. Lord, we're made of flesh, and sometimes we make mistakes. Last night, Brother Noah preached out of Leviticus and said, Lord, we did it ignorantly, unwilling, but it happens sometimes. And I pray you'd draw that backslider this morning, Lord. Do a work of grace in their heart. And then, Lord, there's many preachers here this morning, many church members, and we want to pray for revival, God. Lord, I remember being upstairs here in this meeting before this auditorium was ever built. And Lord, you broke out one night, and Lord, about 2 o'clock in the morning, people were still here rejoicing over the goodness of our God. We'll do it again, Lord, do it again. We'll thank you and praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thinking you might be seated. This morning, I want to bring to your attention primarily verse number 17, where the Bible said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature." Do you know, if we stood this morning and gave our testimonies, they would be as different as daylight and dark on the place people got saved, how they got saved, the circumstances that were involved in their salvation. Everybody has a personal testimony. And the thing about that is no one can give your testimony. You are the only one. So I always encourage everyone, stand and give your testimony. It gives you an opportunity to relive that circumstance when you were gloriously saved by the grace of God. Well, look further down in our verse. He said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." Now, watch what happened when we became a new creature. He said, "Old things are passed away." Old things are passed away. Even though our testimonies would be different, the one thing that we would all have in common this morning in giving our testimony would be that we would all say, "Jesus changed my life." Amen. There's a change that takes place. And that change is universal. The one thing, Brother Mickey, that makes me know I'm saved this morning is I'm not the same person that I used to be. I don't like the things that I used to like. I don't do the things I used to do. And I don't go the places where I used to go. There's a change down on the inside of me this morning. And when that change takes place, one of the very first things that happened is that old things are passed away. Now, I want to preach this morning on that statement, "Old things are passed away." Or in other words, you could read it like this: old things died. Amen. All those things in my life that consisted of my lifestyle died that day that I got saved. Amen. So if God would be my helper this morning, for a little while, I don't know where this is going to go, but I want to preach on a sermon entitled, "Old Things Funeral." Amen. I want to say this morning that there's a lot of things in our life that needs to die today. And those things that die out make us what we are today. Old things funeral. Well, standing before you today is a preacher by the name of Lawrence Benjamin Hatfield. I get Benny out of Benjamin. I was named after my two grandfathers, Benjamin Pearl and Weston Lawrence. And I got Lawrence Benjamin Hatfield. He was born in 1957 on March the 27th. And he was saved by the grace of God in 1976. 6 months later, after he was saved, God called him to preach in that same year of 1976. So what I'm going to do in the sermon today is lay Benny Hatfield down here upon this altar and let some old things pass away. Amen. When you have a funeral, you usually have that time of looking back on that person's life and seeing what kind of person they was. And I want to look at Benny Hatfield and say to you that, number one, he was just a low-down, filthy sinner on his way to hell. There was nothing good about him. He was strung out on drugs, partying with the motorcycle gang called the Outlaws. He was making application as a one percenter and thought that was the kind of life that he wanted to live. And he wanted everybody to be scared of him. He wanted everybody to be scared of his friends. That's the kind of person that he was. But I'm glad that I can stand up here today and say that old things passed away. Old things died. Amen. And look with me, if you will, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 31 in your Bible. Paul said this, "I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus." You know what Paul is saying there? Don't brag on me. Don't lift me up. Every good thing in my life is not a product of my effort. It's nothing good on the inside of me today. But look what he said at the end of the verse. He said, "I die daily." Every day of my life, I go and have a funeral. That's what Paul is saying. And I bury that old man. Of course, you and I know that his name was Saul. And the Bible said he made havoc out of the church, had papers in his hand from the high priest to go down to Damascus and search out those that were meeting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that he would bind them and bring them as prisoners back to Jerusalem and cast them into prison. Fear had gripped the church over this man. But I want to say to you this morning, on his way to Damascus, something happened because Saul had a funeral. Amen. And in his funeral, the Bible said, a great light shined round about him. And he heard a voice, and he said to the voice, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against a prick." That word prick means you're not going to win, big boy. You're going down. Amen. You don't stand a chance. It's a similar word as you go back in the book of Genesis when the Bible said that Satan came in the garden and beguiled Eve. That word beguile means she was dead before it ever started. She never was a match for the devil. The mistake she made was to allow that temptation to form between herself and the devil. Jesus said, or told us later, and we read it in the book of Genesis, that the voice of God came walking in the garden in the cool of the evening. The voice of God was in the garden. Do you know that voice would have answered that temptation? The voice would have quoted the word of God. You know where our problem comes? When we allow these temptations to form. You're beguiled by the devil. You're no match to the devil. He's superior to you. And you are much weaker than he is. And you're going to fall. So you said, well, what do? We let the voice of God speak on our behalf and allow this Bible to be our authority. So Saul said, I die daily. And he put him down on the altar and had a funeral. And Saul died, and God changed his name to Paul and called him to preach. Well, the moral of the story is that Paul did go into Damascus, but he did not put the Christians into prison. But the Bible said that he ended up preaching the word of God. Amen. And God used him in a great manner. I tell you, there's no telling what God would do for all of us if we would just have a funeral and die daily. Amen. He said, old things are passed away. Old things, funerals, some things in our life needs to die today. Not only was Saul changed, but I read in my Bible where that old Ethiopian eunuch had a funeral. Amen. The Bible said he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, and great distance away in Samaria, Philip was having a great revival and souls were being saved, and God plucked him up out of that revival and said, I love the soul of man so much that I'm going to send you down to one man. I thank God that he sends us to one at a time, aren't you? And he got down to this eunuch, and the eunuch asked him, said, is he talking about himself or is he talking about someone else? And the Bible said, Philip began there and preached unto him Jesus. Thank God. I'm glad we can go from a great revival down to one. And that one needs to have a funeral today and die out to the things of God. So I say to you today, first of all, we need to die out to salvation. Amen. You'll never be saved till you die out and have a funeral. You can try to straighten yourself up. You can try to put on a do better attitude. You can try to make yourself a different person. But the Bible said, not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. So you got to die out to salvation. The Bible tells us that Philip went down with the eunuch in his chariot, and they came to a pool of water. And the eunuch said, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Thank God. I'm glad this morning that he was gloriously saved there that spot and baptized. And did you ever notice where the Bible said, and he went on his way rejoicing? Well, we've said that was that eunuch. He went on his way rejoicing. But I want to submit to you today that it may have been talking about Philip. Amen. He went on his way rejoicing. Thank God that God would use him to lead one man to Christ and see him gloriously saved by the grace of God. And he went on his way rejoicing. The Bible tells us that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus? He was saying, you got to die out, Nicodemus. You got to have a funeral. You got to be willing to bury that old man. You got to be willing to lay down on the altar and be sacrificed. And today we're preaching on old things funeral. Thank God, I heard a story a preacher gave one night where he said an old Indian chief came up in a revival meeting and he said to the evangelist, "Well, give my pony for God." And the evangelist looked back at the old Indian chief and said, "I'm sorry, chief, but that's just not enough. It'll never get the job done." So he came back on the second night and he said, "We'll give pony and teepee for God." And the evangelist said, "It's still not enough. It just won't work like that." Finally, on the last night, the old chief came down the aisle and he said, "We'll give self for God." And the evangelist said, "That's just right." Amen. I'm glad we can have something we can offer to God. And that is this old life that you and I have. We are candidates for salvation. Amen. So today we need to die out to salvation. But I want to say to you, secondly, we need to die out to sanctification. You know, to be sanctified means two things in your life. It means, number one, I'm where God wants me to be. Number two, I'm doing what God wants me to do. Do you know God has a place for everybody in this room today? He has a will for your life. And it's time that you got up and got down there where God wants you to be. You said, "How do you do that, Brother Hatfield?" You have a funeral, amen. And you bury that old man and he passes away. And you go forth to where God wants you to go. Do you know the Bible said that God came to Abraham and said, "Leave there thy kindred and thy dwelling and go unto a place that I will show thee of." If I'd have been Abraham, I'd have said, "What direction?" But God would just say, "Follow me." I would have said, "What does it look like so I'll be able to identify it when I get there?" And God would say, "Don't worry about that. I'll show you when we get there." So Abraham had to walk by faith every day of his life. But God had a will for Abraham's life. And there was a place where God wanted Abraham to dwell. And secondly, there was a reason God wanted him in that place. And that is that it was to do what God sent him to do. Do you know God will never lead you anywhere without giving you a purpose of why he led you to that place? You mark her down. He has a reason. You don't always understand it. You don't always see clearly how that this is going to work out. I remember when I announced my call to preach and Lakeview Baptist Church in Hollywood, Alabama called me and they said, "We would like for you to come and be our pastor." I remember telling my wife, Kay, I said, "Surely not. They don't want somebody like me." But she said, "How did you do it, Brother Hatfield?" "I had a funeral." Amen. I remember I had an old corn crib out behind the house. And Brother Noah, I got in that corn crib, had a chain around the door with a padlock, and I locked that lock on that chain and got down on my knees in that corn crib, and I began to pray to God. I told him that I would go down there and I'd be their preacher if he'd go with me and help me. Amen. You said, "What did you do in that corn crib?" "I had a funeral." Amen. "And I buried the old man." He was telling me that I could not do it. He was telling me that I wasn't suited to do it, that I belonged to that other crowd. That's the kind of person that I was. So I just buried him, Brother Junior. I'm saying to you today, we need to have a funeral and bury that old man and the lust thereof. Amen. So we need to die out to sanctification. Do you know God said to Joshua, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The Lord will do wonders among you. Isn't that a good thing that God can use somebody like me? God can use somebody like you. And not only can he use you, but wonderful things can happen. And Joshua sanctified himself. Do you know what it means to sanctify yourself? It means to set yourself aside for the purpose of doing an arranged job, or set yourself aside to do what God has laid upon your heart. You have to sanctify yourself. Not only do you have to be where God wants you to be, not only do you have to do what he wants you to do, but you have to sanctify yourself. And when we sanctify ourselves, then God reaches down and lays his anointing upon us, and God sanctifies us. And the act of God sanctifying us is God making us holy today. Thank God, somebody like me up here preaching the Word of God, somebody up here with an old King James Bible in my hand, somebody like me. "How did you do it, Brother Hatfield?" "I had a funeral and I buried the old man and put him in the ground." I remember reading a story one time where an old preacher got up and preached the gospel one night, and a young man came and was saved in that service. And he took him up and baptized him in the same service. And the little boy went home and He told his little sister about getting saved and baptized. And his little sister came to church with him on that Sunday night. The preacher got up and preached the message, gave the invitation, and that little girl stood up and came down to the altar and was saved. He took her up and was going to baptize her. And just before he baptized her, that little boy that was saved did something very unusual. He stood to his feet and he began to clap his hands. And he said, "Goody, goody, goody, he won't leave her under. He won't leave her under." A very unusual thing to do. The preacher thought to himself, "I've never heard anything like that before." But the little boy said, "Goody, goody, goody, he won't leave her under." Well, several years went by. And one day God called that preacher's wife to heaven. And they had the funeral service and went down to the cemetery. And the undertaker came over and said, "Now, preacher, if you'll walk away, we'll arrange the flowers and make it as beautiful as we can. And you can come back and enjoy their beauty." And the preacher started to walk away from the grave of that dear beloved wife that had served God by his side for those many years. As he began to walk away, the Holy Ghost reminded him what that little boy did. And he turned around and faced the grave and began to clap his hands. And he said, "Goody, goody, goody, he won't leave her under. He won't leave her under." Thank God today. You know what we need to do? Have a funeral today. And bless God, bury that old man. And get over here where God wants us to be. And do what God wants us to do the rest of our day. I've heard my preachers say many times that he desires to finish the race. That he wants to be on the firing line when God calls him home. I say to you today, I too share that burden down in my heart. I don't want to be on a shelf somewhere. I don't want to be thrown to the side and forgotten somewhere. I want to be on the battlefield doing what God wants me to do and laboring for him. I want to finish the race, Brother Jay. Thank God, Brother Jay's been a blessing to this church as others in this room have been. But thank God, Brother Jay, finish your race, brother. Yes, be on the firing line when that day comes. You said, "How do you do that, Brother Hatfield?" Have a funeral. Bury that old man and shut him up and silence him for the rest of his days. Bury her, silence her for the rest of her days. Have a funeral. So we need to die out to salvation. We need to die out to sanctification, but we need to die out today to separation. I say to you, I believe in walking with God. You said, "Brother Hatfield, are you perfect? Are you kidding me? I'm wrapped around with the same flesh you are. I go through my temptations. I face the devil and I face this flesh on a daily basis. But what I'm preaching to you today is the answer to separation. You take it one day at a time, thank God, and die out to separation and walk according to this blessed Bible." A while ago I was talking about the voice of God. in the Garden of Eden. And I say to you today, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Full of grace and truth. Boy, it's good to walk with grace and truth. Do you know the Bible said, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. That word draw nigh means very simply just get as close as you can to Him. Just draw nigh to Him. Rub shoulders with Him. And He will get as close to you as He can. And the two of you can go arm in arm and do what God wants you to do. Hey, I believe that a preacher ought to live what he preaches, don't you? Amen. It's not about sermons. It's not about being well known and booked in revival meetings and having churches to call you to be their pastor. But it's about walking with God and being what God wants you to be on a daily basis in your life. You said, how do you do that? Well, there's only one way. Have a funeral. And old things will pass away. And I like this part. And behold, all things become new. You start liking. Paul said the book of Romans, I forget what chapter now, but he said, that which I love or hate, that do I. That which I love, do I not. He said, in other words, absolutely everything that I used to do, now I hate it. It's not hard to walk with God when you bury that old man. It's not hard to be separated and live according to this Bible when you bury that old man. But Paul said, I die daily. In other words, if you don't watch him, he'll get up. He'll come back alive. Amen. He'll resurrect. He'll meet you out there one day and temptation will be offered, and he'll reach out and grab it before you know what's happening. You said, so what do? You start every day out with prayer, every day out with the Word of God, and live that which you read and be separated unto God. No wonder the Bible said, come ye out from among them. Be ye therefore separate. Amen. He called us a peculiar people. Zealous of good works. Amen. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to say to you today, the right way to have a camp meeting is to start out by having a funeral and bury that old man, bury that old woman, and put them away so that you can be about the Father's business. Let's bow our heads for prayer.